9th of September in the guest house with John, Ivan, Sarah, Beverly, Betty, Tom, Sukin, Nina, Knowing and Norm.
Two things that I picked up from the discussion. One was the importance of hearing and considering them repeatedly. And the other was how so much our thinking, even about Dhamma, takes us away from the present moment. And we have a lot of stories about what the development of understanding involves, but actually it's always just awareness of presently arising Dhamma. When we talk about considering what has been heard, that relates to considering the present moment.
Jetasikas.
Yeah. It means relating what has been heard to the present moment, rather than thinking about.
Because you see that no matter what is thinking, it has to be the moment when it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So no matter what you are thinking about, it's the same thing as not knowing the reality which thinks yet as not I who's thinking.
The reality which thinks is not I.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All we read, all we think about will condition moment of understanding reality right now by being Sankhara Khanda. Otherwise, when there is no development of understanding realities, it's always I who consider, who think, but actually Jetasikas, Chitta.
Are you uncomfortable with that, or do you think there's people in your group that's uncomfortable with that idea
with
that no control?
Well, I think in the West it is very difficult
very
for
difficult.
People to
yeah,
think
yeah,
that they
yeah.
are not in control. Or if they don't think that they're in control, they think a higher power is in control.
Right.
The growth of belief in angels is phenomenal in the West. I can't remember the percentage over the past 5 years. I think partly because their lives are so chaotic.
Maybe it's because they feel they're not in control. Sometimes they want something to be
in
control.
So much, yeah. I think it's so much
easier. They want the guardian angels to come and help them.
It's much easier to surrender to somebody who is in control. Who is.
And of course, I think we all have our accumulations about what is Buddhism, what is mental development, what is learning about realities. And so we all struggle with that, be it us or them. And it's hard to remember the first time we went to Wat Bawarn or to the foundation and heard about Nama and Rupa, and it was all such a big shift in viewing the world and to really understand that. Just like TSG, actually, the same questions come up over and over again as we try to shift our view of the world from Atta to Anatta.
If they are interested in the Buddhist teaching, I think that the best way is help them to understand what the teachings is about. It's the only thing. Because people claim that they are Buddhist or they study Buddhism, but actually it's not the teachings of the Buddha. As long as there is no understanding of realities right now. And people are used to be interested in outside story, not the story of citta and cetasika from birth to death. That's why we can tell the difference between the teachings of Buddha and the other's teaching. And we don't have to compare, but as we understand the teachings, we can tell them what we understand about the teachings, like now, this moment, what is real, right now. If they are interested to know what is real and what is the teachings of Buddha, always about realities right now. To really understand each reality as it is. For example, there must be visible object appearing. Do they understand what visible object really is? There must be many technical terms from different science to think about. But just the moment of seeing is so real. And what is seen, no one can deny that it's real. What is seen is real. But who knows about that characteristic, which is conditioned to be the object of seeing when it arises, and there must be the eye base, and there must be the citta which sees it. Otherwise, it cannot be seen, even there is visible object, because as long as there are the four elements, the four tattoos, there must be visible object. But it depends on whether it's seen or not. At moment of touching, there is also visible object with the four elements, but it's not seen because one is touched. So each moment is conditioned to arise and experience an object, the unknown object, no understanding of all objects from birth to death as they really are, but takes everything for something permanent. So the question is, what is real at this moment? If they know, they can answer what is real. According to Sammuti Satya concept or Paramattha Satya, there are two kinds of Satya. The person who knows what is Sammuti Satya may they not know about Paramattha Satya at all. In their life, they just know about Sammuti Satya. People are real. Books are real.
How about gods or angels?
Okay, can that be seen?
So what would you call that?
So whatever is seen must be visible object.
Right.
Can we call visible object God?
No.
So as we cannot call visible object human being, we cannot call visible object as God. What is seen must be visible object only, nothing else. Yeah. And it has to arise too. Otherwise, it cannot be seen.
But what if that is the case goes where only some people claim they see them, and they say that, yes, that's a visible object?
Whatever is seen must be visible object only. And it depends on idea, whether one sees God or one sees devil or one sees...
People.
Yeah, exactly the same.
The problem with ghosts is not that it's a ghost, but people don't see it as a visible object. They see it as something that maybe hurts them, so they're scared and because of fear of self. So there's a conceptual idea about it, but it's really seen as a visible object.
Right, it's
important.
A visible object.
What is, when people talk about hallucination?
Is there seeing at that moment? If there is seeing, visible object is seen, and hallucination follows. It depends on whether there is seeing or not. Or just thinking. Is a dream hallucination? See, thinking.
It's like in dreams.
I think that the understanding realities can answer all questions when it's really understanding. It's not just the word in the books, but it's so real that it can be proven anytime about its true nature, like visible object. It's like now, does we take visible object for Kun Jonathan or Kun Sarah? See, God or not God?
Ghost or angel?
Ghost, yeah.
Jonathan thinks Sarah is God.
So as one knows that seeing cannot be thinking, so one can understand the world, not just this world, any time. No one can change realities at all because they are absolute realities to everyone.
Any time, any realm.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about the bird says and human being says and an angel's people in heaven says, seeing is seeing. But we think about the shape and form of the rupa. We don't just think about seeing itself as just the moment of experiencing visible object. No matter where it arises.
Just imagine having the pandya to know seeing as seeing and thinking as thinking, that we immediately see the difference. Looking at you, knowing the characteristic of thing, not by inference. Right now we infer that it is thinking.
But at least we have many opportunities
for thinking about it?
No, for having awareness. We just miss them.
Yeah, again, it's not us that misses them, is it?
But you know, it's arising.
All right.
We can understand the difference between levels of intellectual understanding and direct awareness. Otherwise, it's only thinking about realities.
Like I had this discussion with my friend Pat, and a friend of ours had just died, and she claimed that she spoke to the friend and she claimed she spoke to the spirit of the friend, and the spirit was able to communicate. We know it's all thinking. However, when I told her that this particular friend had already been reborn, because I had to tell her in that kind of a way. She said no, because she was able to communicate with the being, and da-da-da-da-da, and then the being had not been. So she didn't believe that my friend had already been reborn. She doesn't know anything about Jyotichitapatisan either. She doesn't know anything about that. So I was in an impasse to say anything more than I did, because I couldn't answer her question.
Because she doesn't understand the meaning of what reborn is.
Yeah.
For example, if there is no understanding of the arising and falling away of citta, no sense to talk about reborn or rebirth.
Yeah.
See,
yeah, so she's thinking
it's
of
just the succession.
Sense.
Yeah. Nobody can stop the succession of the arising of citta and chittasikas
at all. Also, I think that it's just a concept. Rebirth is a concept that you can't prove to someone who doesn't have understanding of citta.
You say that if there's not the direct understanding of the arising and falling away of dharmas, there's no point in talking about rebirth. Well, of course, until there is a higher stage of vipassana jnana, any ideas we have about the arising and falling away of realities is just thinking at this moment.
There's no understanding of realities right now, which arises and falls away.
Yes.
Because what is born, see?
Yes. But we could say, well, for us, we're just talking about the rising and falling away of realities, but it's not the direct understanding of the rising and falling away of dharmas. But yet we do talk about rebirth. We do talk about karma, for example. Are you saying there's no use to it?
I mean that when there is no understanding about reality like citta arising and falling away right now, okay, no point to talk about rebirth. Because what is born, yeah, what is born, no understanding yet.
So we just talk about
what is born. Can we talk about rebirth without what is born?
I mean, what gets born?
What was born, what is born, what born?
Chitta
chetasika. She doesn't know about this, so she has doubt about no rebirth at all.
So I think that any question can come back to what?
Like rebirth, what is it?
Yeah. What reality?
Uh-huh. Whether it's reality or what is it? If they think in terms of people and things, they cannot understand how can be rebirth after death. But in the absolute sense, it's the nature of that element. Whenever it arises and when it has fallen away, it conditions the next moment instantly by its nature. When there are still kilesa, but when there's no pachya anymore, even the rebirth consciousness has fallen away, no more rebirth, no more arising of citta and jetasika.
Could we say what gets reborn is exactly the same as what arises at the present moment?
So what gets it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing an visible object and, well, not visible
citta,
object.
Citta, jetasika.
Jealousy.
And rupa,
and
by karma. And what is karma again? See, everything has to, what is it again and again?
No, we say it's like now. What of now that we understand?
Yeah, you could go further and bring it down to the kind of citta, jati of the citta.
We can talk about this life. We all were born already, right? And what were born? We or what? See, it's exactly the same as next life.
I think what I was trying to suggest was that to understand more about rebirth and next life, one understands more about the present reality, whatever it is. It's just the five khandhas.
Is birth of this life and birth of other lives the same or are they different?
Same.
Because it's birth.
We were talking the other day, the first day, about meeting the right friend and so on, and the association with the wise being association with panya and right understanding and right considering. When we read in the sutta about the good friend being not only half of the holy path but the whole of the holy path, and Ananda's comments, is this also referring to development of understanding, to wisdom, association with wisdom?
So, worldly good friend and Dhamma's good friend.
Both meanings.
Depending on the teaching covers everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So it depends on the understanding, what we mean by that.
So in that particular quote that's given so often, both meanings referred to, the conventional
worldly
and
meaning.
Worldly.
Okay. Otherwise, we will never say good friend. But when we say good friend, it bears different levels too.
Different levels of understanding.
Uh-huh. So it's not like the deadline for this or that at all.
No. Okay.
So we can say that these are good friends, and we can also refer to Chitta.
You might know it as your good friend in some way, see? Depending on what we are talking about. It doesn't mean that we cannot use that term at all.
But the wise friend, can we make a distinction that those with whom we discuss Dhamma with and those we...
Depends on what we are talking about, like wise. It can be the worldly wise, but that.
Yeah.
It's not like that we have to think that it has to be used in just only this case. In general, because the Pali term is also used in general, in daily life, in that time too.
I think this relates to a comment you often have made recently, that because the Buddha is using the common ordinary language that is used conventionally, so the same phrase or term can have many meanings accordingly, whether it's just conventional language or referring to ultimate dharmas.
When we read and we think of the meaning just only when it means dhamma, something like that, not included the local meaning too.
We can understand conventionally that John is a good friend, but at the same time have the understanding that it's a good friend only when there's understanding. If there's no understanding, then it makes no difference.
When you say conjunction is good friend, you mean good in other aspects as well too, not
yes,
on Dhamma, see? You can talk to anyone that he's
good,
my good friend.
Friend.
Yeah.
Can be used in many ways,
uh-huh.
Yes. We don't have to restrict it to having any knowledge of Dhamma.
Well, but the meaning of wise friend, which is one of the four conditions, it has to be one who has understanding.
Whether you have understanding or not?
No, if only we have understanding.
Really?
Ourselves.
So if I ran into someone like Jonathan who talked Dhamma to me...
And you didn't understand.
And I didn't understand it, then he's not a wise friend?
He can be a worldly good friend, but not a wise friend.
He is,
again.
But what about you?
He still is wise.
Yes.
He can still be wise.
He's a wise friend, but the problem is that I just don't get it.
No association.
No association.
Some people might associate with me, but they are not interested
well,
in Dhamma.
Well, there's no hindrance in the way that...
At all.
No, see.
On the first day, Khunsu Chin, there was some reference to if people mind, if others object to the commentaries or to what goes on at the foundation or something like that, or get upset about things, and you mentioned clinging to the beloved. But of course no one wants people to be distressed at all. If people come and they feel distressed when they hear the Dhamma or when they're in that situation...
By their own accumulations.
By their accumulations. Yeah. So if you hear, okay, well you've done your best and someone's distressed and upset or not coming back, do you
Is
just...
Is it my fault? Oh, it belongs to their accumulations.
It's their accumulations, yes. Yeah. So one just accepts, okay, one does one's best, let it go.
What can
we
do?
What can we do?
Yeah.
It's very common people have their strong ideas, and if they're challenged, they find it very disturbing. But really, all we can do is just do our best, and if we mind about the upset or distress again, it's just more clinging.
Isn't that what Bhavatana is about? Craving for becoming? One wants what one believes and is to continue? Is that the meaning of
Bhavatanha.
Bhavatanha.
There are two meanings of Bhavatanha.
Yes.
One is clinging with the idea that everything is permanent.
Yes.
Okay. And the other is clinging to becoming.
To
yeah.
the becoming of the I. That
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I was more reflecting on your cold shower thing that you had on the internet, where some people felt that it was too harsh.
It's not too harsh.
It's reality.
You can't know the motivation of the woman. She might have been interested in a thesis on some social aspects. You want to talk about realities and,
right.
you know, you're...